welcome to the Grand Hill Chronicles podcast. My name is Don Bishop, and I write as T.S. Pedramon. So this will be a shorter episode. I don't have an interview. This is just going to be me talking a little bit of updates, and I thought I might share how I've been doing most of my writing recently. So by way of updates, I mean, most of it was there in last week's episode, at the start of the episode. I am working on pushing book two, Nightshade Unicorn book two, Guardian, out the door, and I'm looking at, I mean, it's already planned on Amazon. There's a pre-order in place, so the launch date is October 25th. Now, to get there, I don't have a complete manuscript yet. I've been waylaid by things happening in life, and I'm still working to sell my old house that we lived in previously. If you really want more information there, go back to, January or February of 2023. Look early in season two is how I labeled the podcasts. Early in season two, and you'll get the full story. But anyway, so we are selling the house. It's under contract, and it closes on Monday. It's not over until it's over, so it's possible that something could happen between now and Monday. Fingers crossed if everything goes through. But I actually do have a couple of episodes recorded, and they're waiting for me to have time to edit them. I'm doing this this kind of one take, and it won't take me much editing work to push this episode out. So I'll be able to do it quickly and push it out today. I'm recording it today on September 12th. Where was I? Right. So I'm rushing to get everything done at the old house. There were some repairs to be done, and so I'm rushing back over there. And also this afternoon, for me, it's starting at noon, but I'll be recording an interview for next week. And it also, I mean, one of the episodes that's waiting in the queue won't take that much editing, but it will take some. And next week's will be time sensitive, and it's important that it comes out next week. And you'll learn about that next week. But for now, I'm working to push out book two. And to get there, to get from here to there, I am working to finish up the manuscript. And in 12 days, I have planned to share it with beta readers. If you want to be one of those beta readers, look in the links in the show notes. Unfortunately, you can't just go to nightshadeunicorn.com because I don't have a link on the website, even though the page for beta reader signups is housed within nightshadeunicorn.com. But yeah, look in the show notes, and there will be a link there. For anybody who doesn't know, beta reading is basically, I have a manuscript. It is hypothetically the complete and finished story or book, but looking at it realistically, it probably will need some adjustments, and that's why I say, hey, let me have several people read through it and let me know their thoughts. Let me know what you think works really well. Let me know what you think doesn't work really well. And if I hear a lot of the same complaints from multiple people, then that's probably something I should change. Whereas if one person complains about something and everybody else thinks it's fine, then I'll probably leave it as it is. But I'm sending it out to beta readers on September 24th. And since it'll be a group email and I don't want to trip spam filters, I've set that up as a newsletter. And that's just the means by which I will manage the beta reader communication. If you want to beta read, I would be very appreciative and I will take your feedback. Again, September 24th, is when it will go out, and I will ask for a 2-week turnaround. I want your feedback within 2 weeks so that I can process that and look at what changes need to be made to the manuscript before publishing. And what else was I going to say about beta reading? I mean, that's basically what it is. Look in the show notes for the link and go to there and sign up as a beta reader. Or if you just get lost, send me an email at author@thorn.link and I'll send you the link directly in case there's any problem you can't access the show notes or you're just too lazy to do it. Now, the next step for me, so beta readers, send it out September 24th, get it back at least by October 8th or sooner. And then I'm giving myself a week, a very intense week of editing, of incorporating feedback, and then I will send it out to ARC readers on October 15th. For anybody who doesn't know, ARC is Advanced Reader Copy, and that is basically, I'll give you a copy of the publication version of the book, and you can read it for free. Now, I do request that you share a public review on Amazon or Goodreads, but it is not required. Like, you can take that free ebook and run with it and just have fun. So that also will be managed via newsletter, again, because a group email, and I don't want to trip spam filters and have them decide that I'm a spammer sending out mass emails. But because I think it happened to me in January of this year, and it took me a couple of days to fix it. Of course, that might have also been because of policy changes across the internet on how they manage email, and I had to vet. Anyway, now, so ARC readers, I'll send those out on October 8th, and sorry, no, 15th, October 15th. I get beta read feedback by October 8th. I send out ARC reads October 15th, and launch day is October 25th. And I would love anybody who can read the book and wants to post a review. That would really help me immensely, because when you go shopping online and you find a product that you're not familiar with and it has one review or two or none, you're probably less inclined to buy it. But if it has, I don't know, 10, 15 positive reviews, that really helps. And that really helps people decide, oh, you know, I'll give this book a try. A couple of other things. I am participating in Stuff Your Kindle Fantasy Edition. I did it in the summer, and I'm going to do it again in October 18th through 20th. And I will be setting the price to free for the ebook for Book 1, Forerunner, which you can see over my shoulder here in the video. But that will be free October 18th through 20th across the internet. Now, it might be free a little bit before that and a little bit after that, just because I am not in Kindle Unlimited, and Amazon only allows me to set it to free if I am in Kindle Unlimited. But they do price match, which means I will have to set my price to zero everywhere else and then email Amazon and say, hey, look, this book is free everywhere else. You really shouldn't be charging for it. And then they'll change their price to zero, so it will be free everywhere during those 3 days. And then afterwards, I will change the price back to normal, and then I'll have to email Amazon, or maybe I'll be able to go in and change it without emailing them. But anyway, at least on those 3 days, October 18th through 20th. So if you've been dying to read it, but you know, maybe $8 is a lot for you, and I understand that, then go and download it on October 18th through 20th. And that will really help me, because if I get a lot of downloads, particularly on Amazon during those few days, it bumps my Amazon ranking and my Kindle store ranking by a lot, and it helps the algorithm notice me, or makes it more likely that Amazon will suggest my book to more people, which the timing, and I didn't set these dates. I am jumping on a bandwagon with a bunch of other fantasy authors, by the way. So it's not just me. If you search, actually go to stuffwithfantasy.com. There will be a listing there. And I don't know if my book has shown up in that list yet. It should soon. But anyway, there's going to be a lot of fantasy ebooks for free during those 3 days. And the timing is fortuitous for me, at least I hope. Because I have the sequel coming out on the 25th. The sequel, book two, Guardian, is not going to be free during this time frame. I don't have any plans for any giveaways for book two. But if you want to pre-order it, you can pre-order it. Of course, I mean, you can read it for free, so why would you? Anyway, the pre-order price is $2. Maybe you want to, you know, read it for free, and then you tell your friends to go and pre-order it, whatever. All the pre-orders that come through for that ebook will be counted as sales on launch day. And so I'm hoping to have some numbers, you know, boost my numbers, where book one gets the attention from the Stuff Your Kindle Fantasy Edition on the 18th through 20th, and only 5 days later, book two comes out, and I have a bunch of pre-orders that instantly boost its sales numbers in the Kindle store. That would be really helpful to me. I've run a few ads briefly, but I haven't really tried to advertise on Amazon or Facebook, and I have yet to do that, but maybe that will change things. At any rate, to date, sales have been really slow. I hope that once my house sale closes on Monday, it will free up a lot of time for other things, like finishing book two. I probably won't write anything more for the rest of the week because I'll be getting the house ready. I'm behind on these repairs as well, but they're not too overwhelming. But anyway, so once the house is sold, I'll be able to focus absolutely on this book until it's finished. And that kind of concludes our updates for this episode. And that took me over 14 minutes, but I talk a lot, I guess. Now, I wanted to talk about how I've been doing most of my writing of late. Now, if you paid attention last fall, I know that I mentioned I did some dictation. I did some time treading water. Not a lot, but I did write some of book one while I was treading water. And I wrote a significant portion, I don't know, 30%. Perhaps, maybe up to 50% on a treadmill. But it was laborious work, and I have learned about myself recently that if you're watching the video, I just got a confirmation of my message to the podcast guest for next week. Actually, that probably didn't get recorded in the video. That's all right. You'll find out next week who the guest is. So I learned that something that really trips me up with recording. Well, I wasn't recording audio. I was dictating for Microsoft Word, and it was tedious for me because it's hard for me to see the words appearing on screen and not mentally want to make sure that they come out right. And so, like, as I'm dictating, I'm watching the screen, and if it says something like totally off, then I need to go and grab the mouse and keyboard and fix that. Except I don't, you know, and it's mentally, I can't ignore it when it's right there in front of me and the fix is so easy. But with all these hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of individual fixes of small errors, it slows down the creative process. And so over the past few months, I have taken to recording audio and then plugging it into Microsoft Word to transcribe the file. And so I've gone on walks. I take my little Zoom H1 microphone, and I have a dead cat windscreen for it that fits right over it. But I only do that if, you know, it's actually windy. So I'll go out and I'll just talk to the microphone, and I'll find some hiking trail. Or maybe I'll find a park that doesn't have a lot of people in it at the time, and I'll go and walk the jogging trail around it, and I'll walk and I'll talk into the microphone, and I do that for a couple of hours at a time. Sometimes I don't have that much time. I'll do it for half an hour ish. But then I get back to the computer. I pull out the micro SD card and pop that in, and, transfer the file over and have Microsoft Word transcribe it. And it still comes out with a lot of cleanup that needs to be done. But I can sit there when I'm tired and brain dead late at night, I can sit there and make those adjustments. The hard part for me is making it exist in the first place. And I'm really relieved that I've found a technique that works for me where I can get my personal best so far is, actually, I don't know that. My personal best that I know of so far is 5,500 words in one day. So it's going to be really helpful for me to produce the amount of work that I've been trying to. Whereas without dictation, I struggle to get 2,000 words in a day. It's hard. With dictation, it makes it so much easier. And that way I can flow, and I don't have to worry about typos. I know that I'm going to have to fix them later. But I don't see them happening while I'm talking. Now I hold on to the recording. I hold on to the recording file, because some things are not going to be transcribed well, and I'm going to be like, what was I saying here? I'm going to have to listen to it and figure out, oh, okay. Or, you know, maybe I'll just say, I'm not sure what I was saying there, but this is what I should have said, and I'll just make it up on the spot. Wow. I guess that's the discussion in a nutshell. Well, no, I should say more. So I'm not going into it as a discovery writer, as they say. Or people also say pantsing. I'm not going at it as a pantser. You could say I pants the details, or I discover the details as I go along. Not all of them, some of them, little details. And some of them, I make them up on the spot, knowing that I'm going to change them later. But so character names, right? First of all, Microsoft Word does not understand me when I say Alava. It does not get it. And so when I dictate, at first I was calling her Alabama, and now I'm just calling her Amanda. When I go on walks in the woods and I'm talking to my microphone, I call her Amanda. And so I make up names for a lot of characters. I make up like modern English names. Like if you were to read my transcribed manuscript right now, there'd be Jim and Johnny and John and ridiculous things. There's a couple of friends who I'm calling Walrus and Tank, and I will most likely change both of those to something different, but I kind of like it. It just doesn't fit in the world. I mean, they're both old words, and so maybe one could be Walrus and the other one could be called Tank. But Tank, the connotation of the word Tank changed significantly about 100 years ago, right? And, you know, 110-ish years ago. was when they started using tanks in warfare. So when you call somebody a tank now, it's somebody big and powerful. And I don't know if that was the case before World War One. Before World War One, tank was like a tank. It's this big thing that holds a liquid, or something of the like. Anyway, so that's techniques. You know, you make up names on the spot that you know that you're going to change. I've seen Craig Martell comment that he, you know, maybe you put somebody's name as X or XX or XXX or pound pound. I don't know. You throw in some character, some string of characters, of letters or special characters, and then you do a control F later. And I'm just using actual words instead of those strings of characters because it comes through better in the dictation. But I think it's a fun story that I'm telling. I hope everybody will enjoy it. Mixed feelings about talking about what happens at the end of book one. You should read it if you haven't. And I get good feedback. It's a good book. And so book two, I'm building on that. And I think I've talked myself out. That's the end for today. I'll push this out in short order, unless I have to run an errand. I have an errand coming up. But this will go out today. And then next week will be an interview with another author. And I look forward to having an interview and sharing that with you. So you have a nice day, and we'll catch you next time on the Grand Hill Chronicles podcast.